You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Al in Malvern. We're coming to you first, Al. Welcome to you. Great to have you on.
G'day, Dwayne. I love listening to you, mate. Just
thank you.
Tired. I was at that game last night, and I'm really happy it happened because I love Ross and I love what the club is doing, but it's time that to expose some of these St Kilda players who are frauds. They do not stand up. This excuse about three games in 11 days, I don't buy. The fact is some of our leaders are really, really brittle. They do not stand up. And it's time that we realise that playing these young blokes is where the future is. The Garcias, the Wilsons, the Wangani Maliras, the Mitch Owens, that's where the future is. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I think it is a little bit of an excuse, the 5 and 6 day break thing, but not enough to cover up what happened last night. I didn't pick the Saints to make the eight this season at the start of the season for the exact reason we saw last night. I put the Dogs in the eight and put the Saints out of the eight, essentially, from the eight last year. I don't think the Saints' list is good enough to win a flag this year, but I think the Dogs' list is. So I think the Dogs are a better team anyway. Now, the Dogs were down on form. They had a few things going on. Their footy club was under pressure, but that was the Dogs that I expected to see this year anyway last night. The only way the Saints, I think, were going to make me look silly this year, and they still might, is if Max King had a 60-plus goal year and they got that midfield speed game going. Liam Henry, Brad Hill, Nasai Wanganeen-Malira, and the midfield speed game was their weapon. And they got it to Max King and Caminiti and Filippo and those forwards quickly. But with Liam Henry injured and a couple of other guys in the midfield dropping form, that speed game isn't there right now, Al. So you're right. It's your depth. And sometimes it is your senior players and look, experienced players. So you're going to have to look at, well, there's a couple of blokes that you're going to have to look at whether you play in the future, I suppose, given if you want to give those kids a run, if you want to put it in the hands of kids like Wilson, etc. Are you going to play Zach Jones anymore? That kind of stuff, Al.
No. Zach Jones has been given plenty of opportunities. I think he his decision making is a little bit poor. I want to see the kids. I want to see the kids because that's where the future is. Now, if we have to make the eight, we're only making the numbers up. Really? If you're going to make the eight, you're going to make up the numbers. Let's flood these kids because Ross is a good coach. We've got good recruitment. We've got good management. We've become a destination club. Let's now give the kids a go.
Appreciate your call, Alan. For kicking us off, we've got something for you down there in Malvern. I don't know if you're a golfer or not, but I'm sure you'll find someone who'd love to go down to Club Mandalay and have 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart. And you can get 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99 at Club Mandalay. Visit clubmandalay.com.au. Thanks for kicking us off. Julian in Hoppers Crossing. Welcome to you, Julian. Thanks for jumping on.
Oh, g'day, Dwayne. I'm from Truganina now, just moved down the road.
Good to have you on.
Thanks, mate. I just want to talk about a couple of things. First off, I want to talk about Riley Garcia for the Western Bulldogs. I thought he had a brilliant game. He didn't have the ball as much as Bontempelli and Treloar and whatnot. But I think every time he had the ball, it turned to gold. I think he's a brilliant player, that one. And
Riley Garcia was almost in the basket of guys who superstars in the VFL, not quite up to it AFL. But it's funny, repeat opportunity. I think we see it with the Australian cricket team, to be honest. You get repeat opportunity, and finally, I do think you get your breakthrough game. So that might have been the game that we were all hoping that he'd have.
Yeah, that's right. You see a lot with up-and-coming players that came from the VFL system, I was about to talk about Alex Chincotta. So I'm a Carlton supporter, as you probably know, and I saw the team lineups. You know, Saad's injured, you know, it is what it is. But We've replaced him with Lockie Cowan, which I have no problem with. But I'm thinking to myself, what's going on with Alex Chincotta? Am I missing something? He haven't seen him all year. He had a brilliant year last year. And he's another player from the VFL system. But what's going on with him? It's been a while since we've seen him. So I just want to know what's going on with him.
I can't answer that question, but I know it's a harder team to get into right now, Carlton's team. So that might be one of the reasons. But if someone knows whether Alex Chincotta's been playing in the twos and how well he's been playing in the twos, then send through a text 0433 98 11 16. Hi, Dwayne. I'll tell you what happened last night. The Saints played 3 games in 11 days. They were absolutely spent. Yeah, I said that off the top. I do cut them some slack for the short breaks, the 5 and 6 day break. But they were smashed last night, so there's no excuse for giving it up like that. They were smashed last night. You've got to be better than getting smashed. Adam in Brayside. Welcome to you, Adam.
Hey, Dwayne. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so just a quick one. I called him Monday and just said sort of want Bailey Dale back in the team and look what he does. So I'll take a little bit of credit for that. My next point, all the experts always say it's a top four list, top four side, but we've actually never finished top four. So why do we keep assuming that it is a top four side? And I think Bevo's noticed this, and so he's trying to make the changes to make us top four side by pulling out some players. I think he deserves a bit more credit for what he actually does, in my opinion.
Yeah, so what I see happening, Adam, and it hasn't really been reported like this by anybody else this week, but I'm agreeing with you. What I see is Luke Beveridge trying to take this team from a team that's going to finish eighth and not do any damage in the finals to a team that might actually be able to win a flag. And that is why you do give opportunity to Harvey Gallagher. That is why you do try and fast-track Riley Sanders. That is why you do put Buku Kamis in the back line and give him a crack back there. That's why you do play a forward line that's probably too tall with Sam Darcy and Rory Lobb, and when Jamara's down there, it's too tall, too many players getting in each other's way, but you've got to try these guys and see where it evolves to. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Adam. He's trying to evolve on the run, knowing that eight's not good enough. If you're a Bulldog, you don't want to finish eighth. You want to win a flag. So you've got to get that next level. You've got to get some next level out of some of your players. And I don't mind the fact so much that he had Bailey Dale as emergency last week. I saw it as a sub last week. Because if he needs to pull that lever to get that kind of game out of him, then that's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. But also, how come he gets the blame for the inconsistencies that this so-called top four side display? Like, he's not telling them to play worse or better,
no,
depending on.
So I think when you experiment, I think when you experiment, you get inconsistency, Adam. So if you play everybody that we expect them to play in their positions, you know, you play Caleb Daniel, you play Jack McRae every week, and you play them all in their expected position, the Bulldogs are probably going to win enough games to make the eight. But that means you're not getting games into Garcia. You're not getting games into Riley Sanders. You're not getting games into Harvey Gallagher. And you're not experimenting to see how fast an improver Sam Darcy might be. So, no, I'm with you on all of that, Adam. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with the way I see the Doggies as well. Are you a top four list? Well, you might be by the end of the year. I picked you to make the eight. I thought you were a top eight list. But I still think you can evolve into a top four list. That's why I've got faith in the Bulldogs having a pretty big season this year. Hey, great to have your call. Stephen Vermont's on the line. You want to talk Doggies as well, Steve? Welcome to you.
Oh, g'day, Dwayne. Great to hear your voice. Great show. It's been a while. And hello to all your listeners. I just wanted to say I'm living proof that if you call, you get on. So
yes,
I love
you
your day madness.
Thank
but
you,
I wanted
Steve.
To talk about the Doggies, mate. All the disgruntled Doggy supporters week after week after week, and all half the media saying, play Aaron Norton in the back line, you know? He's kicked 6 goals straight. Can we never hear that suggestion ever again? Can we let the coach and the supporters can support?
Yeah, I get it, Steve, but I understand why supporters get restless when you play so badly, and I understand why people say move Norton back when the forward line's not working. Jamara wasn't there last night. Roy Lobb comes in, plays a great game. Suddenly it clicks. So that's what's on Luke Beveridge's plate this week. How can you make it click again next week if Jamara comes back? I don't know if Jamara's coming back anyway, but that's what's on Luke Beveridge's plate now. How do you get that chemistry to stay good? Appreciate your call, and you are living proof, Steve. You call, you get on. Straight back to your calls and your tests. Couple of texts. That guy has no idea. The Dogs have a top four talent list on paper. Bont, McRae, Daniel, Jamari Ugal-Hagan, Norton, English, Waitman, Treloar, Libba, Smith, Dale, JJ. Bont is the best player in the league. Honestly, watch them get rolled next week. This is what they do. They will finish a game inside or outside the eight, take it to the bank, and then again next year. Thanks for your text. Take it to the bank is now a segment on this show. So we've got Take It to the Bank coming your way a little bit later on. Thanks to the Bank of Queensland, the human kind of bank. Your business is always welcome at ours. So we've had so many Take It to the Bank texts and calls over the course of time. We've now got a segment sponsored by the Bank of Queensland. Gary in Taylor's Lakes, you want to talk something completely different? Welcome to you, Gary.
Yeah, something different, Dwayne. I think it's time to get five umpires. I saw three incidents in the last couple of weeks. It's just frustrating me. I want to turn the TV off. Of course, the other one against Freo was the obvious one. Four umpires were there. Not one of them saw it. What were they looking at? The Hawthorne Suns game on the weekend, we had Jared Witts going up in the ruck. For the first four times, he stuck out his leg, foot into the leg of Meek, and he got away with it. But the fifth time, umpire said, no, that's rough conduct, and gave a free kick to Hawthorn. I was frustrated just throwing the remote around, saying, well, why is he getting away with it? Four umpires couldn't see it, but on the fifth occasion, he got pinged. And then the one that really frustrated was when the little fella, Ginnivan, was running away from a contest, and then Max Andrew just charged into the back of him, knocked him to the ground, and nothing, no free kick awarded to Ginnivan. In fact, it was a gutless act, should have been reported, but no, it wasn't. So there's something not right. With four umpires can't see obvious incidents, we're time to get a fifth one.
Yeah, Gary, I'm worried that a fifth umpire will allow to have five different interpretations of the same thing. And there's already a bystander effect sometimes when you have four umpires all look at something and say, are you paying a free kick? It might, no. And then the umpire furthest away says, well, if you guys aren't doing anything, I saw it, I'll blow my whistle, even though I'm 8 miles down the road. So I'm a bit worried about the five umpire system being no better than the four umpire system, which has been no better than the three umpire system, which has been no better than the two umpire system, which was never any better than the one umpire system. So Gary, as I always say, umpiring doesn't get any better or worse. They get 8 out of 10 right. They get 2 out of 10 wrong. That's their marker. I think the only thing that's going to fix it or make it better is professional umpires, and they umpire in fixed positions so they don't have to run the 10K and be fatigued. And maybe we'll get some really good decision makers staying in the game of footy who can't actually run 10K. That's just, in a nutshell, my thoughts. Vac, in Mornington, what can you, Vac?
Hey, Don, how you going?
Good.
Just a St Kilda supporter here. Just throughout the season, watched a bit of Matheus Filippo, and just looks like he's really struggling with the pace of the game, and just very indecisive. A couple of times last night, marked the ball like 60, 70 out, and just instead of wheeling to go when we had two or three blokes out, he just sort of look around and try and pick almost a hard decision. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've been told he's the kind of player that thinks too much, Vac. So maybe they've got to get him to stop thinking as much, Vac, and just play on instinct.
Yeah, well, if the rumours are true and Adelaide do want him, it'll almost be worth seeing if we can get another draft pick, in my opinion. Just while he's got some value, I guess, and try and get another Darcy Wilson type, I reckon.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really good player, Vac. I reckon there's just a switch that needs to be flicked a little. He's only young, second-year key position player. Hard for a second-year key position player to make an impact, but I'm hearing what you're saying. Mark on the Limestone Coast, our Saints regulars on the line. Now, your thoughts on last night, Mark?
Cannon fodder. St Kilda get treated as cannon fodder by the AFL for 20, 30 years now. I was listening to an interview with Michael Bisping, former UFC world champion. He said, when you end up gassed, it doesn't matter how good a fighter you are, you can be the best fighter in the world, but you end up being hollow. there's just nothing there. You get a foggy brain, you make bad decisions, and you get the absolute crap beaten out of you. Last night, we were gassed, all right? 3 games in 11 days, not just the 3 days and 11 games, but the travel. We've played in 3 different states and 3 in 11 days. You have a look what happened to Melbourne Demons last week. They had about three games in about 12 or 13 days, and Brisbane made them look gassed. They were pedestrian. All we both got out of it, Melbourne and St Kilda, were soft tissue injuries. So the fixture guy, if he was a horse owner, I'd be calling the RSPCA and reporting him for animal cruelty. It's just shocking, really bad fixturing. Why wasn't Collingwood v Port played last night? Collingwood had a bye, and Port haven't travelled. They played the same day last weekend as St Kilda.
Because the Saints want Thursday nights, Mark. Because if you want marquee Thursday nights, that's what you give up. You give up your right to have the breaks that you might want. So if St Kilda marketing department or whoever their powers at B are, they want to be the Thursday night team and play in the marquee spots, then you're going to be end up being the one that has to cop a 5 or 6. I'm agreeing with you, Mark, by the way. You're right. I think you were gassed. Now, I don't think it's as big an excuse for you in the first quarter. I think you should have been better than a 7-1 first quarter and have the game taken away from you by halftime. But I do believe you were gassed, and that was the reason that there was no fight back, which I think if you weren't gassed, there would have been. So I'm with you on the gassed. I'm with you on the 5 or 6 day break. Let me just throw something else at you, Mark, though. And again, I said pre-season that I thought the Saints were in danger of starting 1-7. And that's why I didn't pick you to make the 8. And I said it pre-season. When people rang up and said, why have you picked us to make the 8? I said, I don't like the way you're going to start the season. I think it could be 1-7. If you lose to Port next week, you'll be 2-5. But I do believe that you can get it back, because after that, you've got North Melbourne and Hawthorn. You could be 4-5 or 5-4 if you beat Port, Mark. I don't think your season's over, but I do think you were gassed a bit last night. I agree with you.
Yeah, fair enough. But you also picked St Kilda to win last night, right?
So, yeah, I know. That was with a betting agency, because I was trying to pick a roughie, because that's the way that sponsorship works. I've got to try and pick a roughie. But no, if you have a look at who I picked pre-season, and I did the whole pre-season picks, I picked the Bulldogs to make the 8, and I would have picked Bulldogs to beat St Kilda in that game last night if it wasn't for the fact that we've got, you know, the try and pick a roughie betting sponsorship on the program as well. So yes, okay, fair enough. I picked who I picked. But I did pick the Dogs to finish higher at the end of the year, and I still think the Dogs will finish higher. And if I did it at the start of the year like I have done in previous years, then it would have been the Dogs over the Saints last night. But I think you can get it back. And I might actually give you my formula for the whole year, for the rest of the year, if you like, and I can continue to have fun with trying to pick a roughie for the betting agency sponsorship. But I'll give you my formula next week as to picking the rest of the year. Paul and Rosanna will come to you after. In fact, quickly before the break. You there, Paul?
Yes, Dwayne, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, great show. Yeah, great show. Yeah, I ring up often supporting Bevo, and thankfully, you know, great win. And look, the thing that people forget, the AFL's a brutal competition, and to make the top 8 is a huge achievement in itself. 10 clubs don't make it. So, you know, I'm hopeful the Dogs can get there, and I think we will. But look, top 4 might be out of reach, but we'll finish top 8. But to even finish top 8, it's a massive effort.
It is, Paul, and you're still in contention to finish in the top 8. Both teams, I think, as I mentioned with St Kilda. So you do have Port Adelaide in Adelaide Oval next week, which is a tough game, but you could win that. And then all of a sudden you've got North Melbourne and Hawthorn the weeks after. You're back in the firing line. Back-to-back wins, back in form, back in the firing line off 7 and 6 day breaks. So it's not over for St Kilda, even though that last night looked bad. Hopefully you get Liam Henry back. Hopefully Max King's not far away, and it's fixable. It's only early in the season. I'm not writing St Kilda off just yet off the back of last night. And the gassed is half an excuse for me as well.